Well, we have a familiar voice on the line with us. We get to talk to him about this time every year, at least for the past couple of years. Phil Jordan is with us. He's the vice president at BW Research. He was responsible with his team in putting together this year's Connecticut Clean Energy Industry Report. You know, Connecticut's clean energy industry back in 2022 contributed almost $7.7 billion to the state's gross regional product. That was an 8.5% increase from the prior year, according to this report, which is compiled thanks to a consortium of organizations. This is the fourth industry study that we're going to talk about today, produced by the Connecticut Green Bank, the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection, DEEP, Eversource, United Illuminating, Southern Connecticut Gas, and Connecticut National Gas, operating through what's called the Joint Committee of the Energy Efficiency Board, or EEB. So we're going to get right into the conversation. We just want to remind you to not miss a special evening of creativity and community with Ruth's House. You've heard about them here on the award-winning For the People. Head straight to the Giggling Pig on River Road down in Shelton for a paint and sip a step-by-step painting class on Saturday, July 13th at 4:30 or Thursday, July 18th at 5:30. This is a step-by-step painting class. Besides getting all the painting supplies to create a beautiful summer beach scene, you're going to get refreshments, but most importantly, your participation is going to help provide a nurturing home and essential resources for young mothers working to create better futures for their families. If you'd like to learn more about the organization, maybe make a donation or volunteer, or get out to this great event, which is with limited seating, by the way, you just need to go to RuthsHouseCT.com. That's R-U-T-H-S, HouseCT.com. All right. Phil Jordan is back. Phil, thanks for joining us here. You and your team were responsible once again for this fourth annual report. Why don't you give us a little bit more background information on the organization and your involvement?
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me again this year. It's always a pleasure to come talk about clean energy jobs in the state of Connecticut. So as you mentioned, I am the vice president and principal of BW Research Partnership. We're an independent research firm, and we work with a number of state and federal government agencies, as well as private sector companies, on providing information and guidance around economic and workforce issues all across the country and actually all across the world. We have specific expertise in climate energy. We produced the U.S. Energy Employment Report for the U.S. Department of Energy, and we've been lucky enough to be the contractor selected to produce this Connecticut Clean Energy Industry Report since its inception. It's amazing to think that that's over 4 years ago now.
Mm. So you guys worked with a number of organizations to produce this report. How does this all come together? I mean, I'm sure, like, the day after you push send and get rid of this, the present report off your desk, you're already starting to think toward planning and executing the next one, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, what's great about this study is that it's actually part of a much broader effort across the entire U.S. And so there are a lot of moving parts and a lot of organizations, some at the federal level and certainly a number of participants in Connecticut to make it all possible. So, you know, really the study builds on two data sets that work together. So the first is quarterly data from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. So these are actually based on unemployment insurance and payroll filings. So every company in America, every employer in America submits these, and it tells the federal government how many people are working sort of broadly across different industries in the U.S. and in every state. And then, of course, we conduct a large and comprehensive survey of usually between 40 and 50,000 business establishments across the United States. And this is all overseen by the U.S. Department of Energy and its Energy Jobs Council, which includes people from the Census Bureau and Bureau of Labor Statistics and other organizations across the U.S. So those data are produced some robust national data, as well as some higher level state data that can be used in Connecticut. But then there's a whole process about customizing those data and building on it for context to understand the implications for the state of Connecticut. So, of course, the Green Bank and Deep have done a tremendous amount of work. They're really instrumental in driving the report forward, you know, coordinating stakeholders to make important decisions about what we mean by clean energy and what kind of investments and policies we're focusing on, and also really messaging it so that it can be used and to maximize its impact. You mentioned utilities, who are obviously really important in all of these decarbonization goals and are also major employers across across the state. And really also, you know, important and critical to this effort are the state's employers. So not only do they take this survey and give us their time to understand what's happening with their labor markets, but a number of them also sit with us for interviews to talk about, you know, the why behind what's happening, right? So we really understand the context and what's driving the growth and what kinds of things we can do to help maintain the momentum in the state to continue to provide these good jobs for people all across the state and in a variety of different roles.
All right. Well, let's dig into some of the more relevant information to our general listenership. How has Connecticut's clean energy industry impacted the state's economy over the past few years, especially now with this uptrend of the increased contribution through the green energy space?
Yeah, so, you know, the clean energy sector is becoming a major segment of Connecticut's labor force and economy. We often think about a threshold of about 2%, right? So states that are above 2% of their economy are connected to clean energy are sort of major players in the state. And Connecticut is rapidly approaching 3%. So a pretty big segment of the state's economy is tied into this clean energy sector. You know, I think what's really exciting about this is that we're seeing really significant growth. I think maybe you mentioned in the outset, 8.5% growth in gross regional product in just 1 year is pretty incredible. I mean, those are numbers that you don't see very often as an economist in terms of growth in gross domestic or gross regional product. So really some significant increases here. I also want to note that these findings are really from a period of time before the majority of the spending that's happened at the federal level and even at the state level on new investments to move this transition forward. So I actually, even though these numbers are really optimistic, it feels to me like we're very much at the beginning of a much longer growth cycle. So lots of excitement in the overall findings about how important and big this sector is getting for the state's economy.
Any other unique specifics on the upside or the downside that you noted as you were reviewing the findings?
Yeah, so you know, I think there are a couple of really interesting things that are sort of going for Connecticut. So one is, you know, I have to reference my with a great deal of pride my alma mater, the University of Connecticut, mm-hmm. which is a really important institution globally, actually, for innovation around hydrogen fuel cell vehicles. And as the country looks at its transportation options, whether it be for you know, vehicles and cars or you know, airplanes and transportation of goods, fuel cells are an incredibly important part of that mix, an emerging part of that mix. And UConn is really a lead innovation hub for those. Now, that doesn't show up always in terms of huge numbers in a report because the industry is still very small. But it is very exciting in terms of creating new companies and bringing in investment to the state. So that's really exciting, something that may not pop out at people right away, but something that I certainly notice as I look at the data across a number of states. So that's a really exciting trend. I'd also say, you know, the state's commitment to a net zero economy by 2040 is creating a lot of changes, particularly among corporate participants, but also certainly among residents. So we're seeing lots of growth in solar and other renewable generation technologies, and a faster than average rebound in energy efficiency deployment, which is something that is exciting to see as the state is continuing to kind of come out of the COVID-19 downturn and has now surpassed the pre-COVID levels in employment.
So the report I know also noted job growth for certain positions, and especially employment levels for more marginalized populations, and they've remained a challenge, right?
Yeah. You know, there's a couple of things that I think are challenges facing the growth of the sector, and certainly equity is one of them. You know, so generally, the state and the country as a whole has maintained historically low unemployment rate for the last couple of years. And so that creates always a challenge in terms of finding qualified workers, because there just aren't that many people who are available. One of the challenges that we have really in terms of the equity piece is that we still have, you know, a lot of challenges where, you know, neighborhoods are that have been minoritized, right, are really often very challenged. And so because of a long history of segregation and disconnection from the economic mainstream, there are a lot of barriers to employment for folks living in these minoritized neighborhoods. And so it really does take a lot of effort, more policy and more investment to help get more people off of those economic sidelines and back into the game. So I think there have been some gains, certainly, and we're seeing some progress, and we're certainly seeing a lot of investment and activity around improving those outcomes. But I do think there's still a lot more work to do.
Yeah, you know, Phil, we talk a lot on the program about, you know, manufacturing and trying to pipeline people into these 3,000 or 4,000 open manufacturing jobs that Connecticut has on any given day. And, you know, reducing or eliminating the stigma of older generations around what they think manufacturing jobs are. Is there any evidence to indicate that improving the information and destigmatizing maybe the idea that folks need to be math and or science geniuses to be able to go into a clean energy workforce is the issue or an issue?
Yeah, look, I think so I think we are seeing significant gains in manufacturing. One of the largest contributing factors of the growth of actually the gross regional product for this sector was an 18.5% growth in gross regional product contribution for manufacturing and clean energy. So the demand is there. And all of the policies that are in place for increasing domestic content of products, of projects in Connecticut, as well as a lot of the Buy America Act provisions and federal legislation, means manufacturing is definitely having a bit of a renaissance and is growing pretty rapidly and is expected to continue to grow. So I think it is important to not only destigmatize it, but to also recognize that, you know, these are really good jobs. These are not, you know, the textile manufacturing jobs of 100 years ago that Sure. were very low skilled and, you know, didn't pay very well. These are good jobs that pay really well and actually do use, a lot of them do use precision manufacturing tools that require a high degree of skill. Now, that skill may not be always aligned with the academic skills that we sometimes focus on, right, as a four-year university or an engineering degree. But I think we should, one way that we can help with that destigmatization is to really recognize that these are skilled jobs. They may not require a four-year degree. They may not require you to do calculus, but they certainly require a high degree of precision, and they are good and well-paying jobs in the state. So I do think it's helpful for us to continue to talk about these jobs as being good jobs, because they are.
Okay. Well, it was great to know, as a result of the latest Connecticut Clean Energy Industry report, that the sector gained almost 3% more jobs and surpassed 44,000 workers, more than pre-pandemic pre-pandemic totals, accounting for almost 5% of the total statewide job growth. It sounds like we're doing a good job. We just need to do a little bit better job at targeting the recruitment initiative to those who are currently maybe afraid to approach it, because certainly the state is bending over backwards to make opportunities to do that. If anybody would like to read the report, you can do that just by going to our friends at the Connecticut Green Bank's website, ctgreenbank.com. Our guest this morning, again, on the program is Phil Jordan. He's VP of BW Research, who worked with a consortium of agencies, including the Connecticut Green Bank, Department of Energy and Environmental Protection, Eversource, United Illuminating, Southern Connecticut Gas, and Connecticut National Gas, operating through the Joint Committee of the Energy Efficiency Board to create this report. Phil, great to talk to you again. Justin, who is on the line, thank you so much for putting this together. We'll get you on the radio, and we'll visit with you again on the occasion of the next release of the report. So thank you so much.